This is the Wally Show podcast with Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. You can always find us at wayfm.com/Wally or stream us live every weekday morning through the WayFM app.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Stories that
accentuate the positive.
It's the Wally Show.
In your lifetime, I'm sure you've heard someone once say, "I love this place so much I'd work here for free." Well, in this case, it's actually true. A North Carolina Chick-fil-A was experiencing high volume during regular lunch and dinner hours, so they decided to take to Facebook asking their community if there were any volunteers that would like to come and help them out during these times. I mean, that's why not? They specified that no payment would be given for these hours, but you would get 5 free meals per 1 hour shift.
Oh, so, that's a good deal.
Right. So roughly it comes out to about $20 an hour because their sandwiches are about
$4. $100.
Not $100. But it didn't matter that they made this offer because this post immediately was hit with a bunch of hate from people accusing this Chick-fil-A location of advertising for free labor when the Chick-fil-A franchise is worth around $15 billion.
That's kind of funny. People are going to get upset about everything. Oh, my voice is going, by the way, today. And so it's interesting, though, that they're so upset by this. But I'm sure people showed up to work. I mean,
exactly. Well, yeah, the manager of the location, Ryan, he defended the post saying that the community wanted to be a part of their local Chick-fil-A, and this was just a created opportunity to make that happen. So he also added that multiple people chose to volunteer so everyone can take a chill pill.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it. People, some places are having trouble staffing up. Chick-fil-A's never been like that. In any Chick-fil-A I've been at, they have tons of people working. So if he's just trying to offset some of that and giving people free Chick-fil-A food.
Yeah, and I'd like to know if the people that were offended, were they even part of the community or not?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm offended for those people in case they are offended.
And would you ever work there? Probably not. Yeah. You know, so there you go. All right, thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting WayFM, this is the Wally Show. This is going to be tough today.
You sound emotional.
I know. I can't talk. I'm trying to figure out. I woke up and my voice was just gone. I don't feel bad. Of course, everyone thinks you have COVID. But I woke up and my voice was just gone, so I'm trying to balance. Like, do I talk quietly and see if that works? Or do I talk louder and see if it will break through? But then we're talking about a real serious thing here, so me yelling it doesn't seem to be the best tone.
I don't know. Right now, it's the only thing that works.
Okay, we'll try it like this. Former Entertainment Tonight host John Tesh is reflecting on how his faith changed his perspective after doctors gave him 18 months to live.
18 months? Wow.
This is painful. This is too much. I know. I'm sorry. I'm hoping. Like, usually my voice, if it goes like this, it will open back up, but we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this. So anyway, Tesh was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and doctors warned him that he would not have long to live. He said he became disheartened and started drinking and abusing, you know, medicine to cope with his feelings. However, he got this CD about divine healing and realized the power of God's love. And Tesh said it helped him get rid of the why me mindset. And what did that was a Bible verse, Romans 12:2, which is, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind," he said. And it's such a very simple sentence, but 7 years later, he's still alive and spreading the message of hope and perseverance. And it all started with a Bible verse that resonated with him.
And I think that's so cool because, you know, you can read verses. I mean, for instance, I was in Sunday school and church all my life. That's where that was my second home. And so you read through the Bible, you know all the verses. But when life changes, when circumstances change, it's almost like the songs you hear on WayFM, you know, it speaks to you differently. You read that verse and it's almost like you're seeing it with new eyes, where that is what helps keep you going, gives you the motivation you need through a difficult time, like being given a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, when your context of your life changes, it will change the way you see the world around you. And that's what happened for him. So I am curious, what is that Bible verse that carried you through something? Or maybe you're still clinging to now because you're still in the middle of it. But that verse that you'd heard it 1,000 times, but now all of a sudden it really, really resonates with you and is helping you. So 855-33-WAY-FM is the number.
That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Tell us the verse that matters to you.
What is a Bible verse that you've clung to because maybe your life circumstances changed?
If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm a recovering addict, 10 months sober, and it seems like after I got out of rehab, everything was against me. But, you know, greater is he who is in me. If God is for me, who can be against me? He is my ultimate peace, my strength, my way maker, my provider. He has gotten me through the 10 months sobriety, and you know, I mean, he's my biggest fan. If I have him, I have everything.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your sobriety. And second of all, you can hear that you've spent time in the Word because you're reciting Scripture, because that's probably the truth that has carried you through the hard times and the difficult moments, huh?
It has. It has gotten me through my weakest night when all I could do was get in my car and just scream and cry out to God. But all I have to remember is I'm allowed to have a breakdown, but I know who to call upon when I have it.
So, Karina, what was that verse for you?
Romans 5:3-5. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
So that's a great set of verses. Why? Like, what was going on that you needed that?
I suffer with depression, anxiety, you know, through my whole life. And I know when I go into a depression or things seem tough, now I don't struggle with my depression as much anymore because I know that there's an end to it and I know that I'm going to learn from it.
Yeah, it's almost like it's helping you see the silver lining. It's giving you a purpose to the pain instead of feeling like there's no point to it. You are just suffering to suffer.
Yeah.
It gives you what you need to take that next step. I think that's awesome.
And someone once told me, you know, people look up to us when we're up, but people really connect with us when we're down.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting Way FM.
News can be a little heavy, so we like to do news-ish. Here's Wally-ish.
So I'm not a reader, and I cannot tell you the last time I was in a library. Like, whenever my wife wants to go, I wait in the car because I'm like, I know they'll know I'm not a reader.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't go in the library.
Wow.
You think they'll, like, judge you?
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, why is he looking at comic books? You know.
He's looking at the DVD.
Yeah, exactly. But there are a few libraries that are branching out, and they'll let you check out more than books. Now, you probably know you can check out movies or, you know, things like that. But there are a couple libraries that are doing a thing called a library of things. Like this one in Oregon, you can check out a cake decorating kit, a panini maker, an Instapot,
nice.
Like all these things, tools.
I love that because there are things that you would like to try, hobbies you'd like to try, but you don't want to spend the money.
That's exactly it. That's what the guy who started it said. And he said that the appliances, a lot of times, most times, he says they always come back super clean. They have things like 1,200 items, including board games. If you've like tried to play board games, they're expensive. You know, you'll drop $25-$30. So if you could play one first and go, oh, this is something we'll enjoy.
Yeah.
What a great idea. I kind of did this with my friend. He had a pizza maker, like a gas-powered pizza maker. And so I borrowed it, and I burned myself on it, and I made horrible pizza. And I realized I don't want one of these. I don't want to pay for this.
But good thing that you were able to try it before you spent the money.
Yeah, if I could have done that at the library, that would be so awesome, man. Mm-hmm. And so to quote The Little Mermaid, they have gadgets and gizmos aplenty. Oh, toys, microscopes, 3D pen, cornhole.
Oh, nice.
This is one of my favorite things. They have a slack line for kids outdoor to learn how to do slack line. You know what that is?
No.
You put a line between two trees, and then you stand on it, and then you have it split you in half. That's basically what always happens with the slack line. Oh, they never go well.
Huh.
And they even have instruments like keyboards, steel drums, ukuleles, violins. But they did say the violins come back quickly. Everyone thinks they're going to play violin, but it's such a painful instrument to learn. But that's a really cool thing, and you might want to even ask your library to look into it and see if they're not doing it yet. Go, hey, let's do this, and I'll help you out with it. You know,
yeah, for sure.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show, and if you're a teacher, could definitely use your help right now. Valerie had emailed me and said, hey, I'm currently in grad school, switching from graphic design to become an art teacher, but as more tragedies in schools happen, I'm becoming worried and discouraged to possibly work in a school. I currently live only a couple hours from Robb Elementary, so that really hit home with me. Besides the tragedies, many former teachers are telling me to turn back because kids these days are horrible and disrespectful, etc. I just met a former art teacher who told me, let me know if you need some discouragement because I have stories.
Oh my gosh.
Like, wow. She's like, so I was kind of wondering, are there any teachers that could actually give me encouragement about finishing my degree and kind of telling me why I should do this? You know, because right now I'm feeling discouraged.
And it's understandable. Sure. I mean, I think anyone in her situation would feel like, can I even make a difference?
It's a tough field, you know, but I do believe that teaching is a valuable, important part of, you know, leading the next generation. And I think you can make a difference. I truly think you can make a difference. So if you are a teacher and you would love to kind of give some encouragement to this lady, I would appreciate it right now, because I'd hate to see her make a decision based on fear, because that happens a lot. A lot of decisions we make are based in fear, and sometimes fear that's not justified because you're getting one side of the story, and that's what she's looking for. She's smart. She's looking for, okay, well, give me the other side. Tell me why teaching is so great. So that's what we're looking for from you. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What makes being a teacher great that you could tell us and share with us to encourage Valerie? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So what do you get out of teaching, and what would you tell to Valerie?
What I get out of teaching is getting to work with the kids. I teach high school, so pray for me.
It's not easy.
But the thing is that these kids are watching us to know how to be a competent, caring, contributing adult, and she needs to take that seriously. And it is the toughest job you will ever love. And when Jesus sent us out on the mission field, he didn't say where that mission field was going to be. He said, go everywhere. And I've prayed about it long and hard, and my classroom is my mission field.
Oh, I love that perspective. You're doing more than just teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic by your actions and by your life. You're showing them your faith. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
All right, Wally, you're up. What do you teach?
I teach business classes.
Okay, so now this lady is struggling because people have told her and warned her about, boy, teaching's hard and the kids are disrespectful and you might not want to do this. So what would you say to encourage her? How has your experience been as a teacher?
I recently became a teacher about 3 years ago, and it's been very rewarding because I teach high school and the kids come back to me and they're like, wow, you really helped us. You have had a positive impact on my life. And there's just no other thing, especially if you help a kid who struggles throughout school, and then they on graduation night they're like, hey, you're the only one who believed in me. So that's something you can't take for granted being a teacher.
Absolutely. And you know what's cool is both teachers so far, neither one of them mentioned summer's off, you know, and that's just true. A little bonus. What would you say, Mrs. Green?
Well, I would just encourage her to remember how she feels, because there are kids in the classroom who feel the same way and need someone to encourage them that they can make it too. I remember feeling that way when I was a junior in college as a teacher because of the standardized tests that lay ahead of me and the senior level coursework. And I was a little nervous, but someone reminded me that if God called me, he'll keep me and he'll walk with me each step of the way. At the end of the day, it's about her calling and about what God has equipped her for.
I love that advice, because I think it can go for anything in our lives in general, just because we're looking for that grace and peace. But sometimes I feel like God doesn't give us that peace or that grace until we're actually in the mess to begin with. And it sounds like to me, Miss Green, is that your teaching ability is saying, hey, wait till you get to that moment where you're going to need that peace, you're going to need that grace, and God will provide it then, but not until then.
Yeah, just do what's before you in the moment and just keep following the Lord. Yeah. It'll all work out.
All right, Chantel, you're up. So there's a lady that needs your help as a fellow teacher. She's wanting to become one, but things are kind of scaring her off with, you know, current events. And then other teachers are like, the kids are disrespectful and horrible. So what would you tell her to encourage her?
I would definitely tell her to start praying, to definitely get in tune with God's calling on her life. The influence that she could be making could be a different experience than the other teachers that she's going to be co-workers with.
I love that you see what you do as a calling, not a career. You know, because that's important, and especially where you're working with kids and you're shaping them and changing them and encouraging them, and that you see it on a deeper level like that, that's just super encouraging. And maybe the teachers that don't like their kids, maybe they've lost that calling, they've lost that passion, and that's coloring their interactions with the kids, you know, and their perspective. And so you having that perspective might be just the thing that Valerie needed to hear today to encourage her. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting! Way FM, this is The Wally Show. A little good news giddy up. Three rapid fire good news stories coming at you, because the regular news can be a bit of a bummer. I'm going to start things off today. When the Mega Millions jackpot was a mere $810 million, Raising Cane's, the fast food chain, bought 50,000 tickets.
No.
Yeah, they bought one for each of their employees.
Wow.
So at $2 a pop, that's $100,000. Mm-hmm. And they said, if we win, we'll share it. Well, they did not win, because now it's up over a billion. And they said share, not split. So I'm curious how that would have worked out. But it took like several hours and a bunch of locations for them to get all these tickets printed. I'm wondering if they won anything, you know, like did
surely
they hit five numbers or something?
Well, surely out of that many tickets, you have to win something.
You would think. You would think. Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
Researchers may have found the key to treating baldness. They said that they discovered a single chemical.
Okay. Why would you laugh, Betty, and Gavin, you bring this up, and both of you look at me?
Well, okay. In fairness,
no reason.
My hair's starting to fade back.
No, you have a thick, luscious set of hair.
You pull the little... I'm getting a little widow's peak.
You're fine.
It's
you're
not as bad as yours. But
here I am being so encouraging. No, you're fine. And then he's like, you're hideous. Thank you.
Sorry. They said that they discovered a chemical in hair follicles that controls when cells divide and when they die. In addition to curing baldness, the researchers say they have also found a way to process and speed up the healing and the growing of the hair. So,
there you go.
I'm interested.
It's not too late, Wally.
I know. I would love this. This would be a good thing. I'd love to have my long 80s hair back again.
Oh,
Come on. Bring it. Lady Rock, good news, giddy up, go.
Our smartphones can do anything, and the future of pregnancy might be able to monitor your own unborn baby through your smartphone. So there are engineers that are developing the sticker. It's about the size of a stamp that when you place it on your body, it can produce high resolution images of the baby.
No.
As well as the heart, lungs, and other organs. To me, it's an advancement in health.
Yes.
Health stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want a sticker that can produce high resolution images. Like, is that radiation? What is that?
That's fine. I'm sure it's not radiation, because like there's no way, because like they you need a big machine for that. This is amazing. Those 4D sonograms that they have where you see your baby and it's like, that's my baby versus the little blob. Those are amazing.
The blob.
Yeah,
yes.
That's my daughter was a blob. They didn't have that technology when she was born. And so like that would be awesome. And if you could just sit there with your phone on there, I'd love to have it for my kidneys just to see what's going on with them. I'd have it on there. I'd be checking them all the time.
Yeah,
man.
You would.
Yeah, so there you go. That's going to do it for your good news. Giddy up. Have you ever dealt with someone that is so good at their job that you're disappointed when you go to other places that don't meet that same level of excellence? Hey, it's Wally, and I wish United Faith Mortgage not only did mortgages, but also had an airline. I was on my 30th anniversary trip, which I paid for with some of the money I got from my cash-out refinance with United Faith Mortgage, and this major airline lost my bag. It was a disaster, and my bag is still somewhere in Greece having more fun than me. Well, everyone I talked to said it was someone else's problem, and don't get me started on the endless hours I spent on hold. That is why I love United Faith Mortgage. Their concierge mortgage service is second to none. When you call, you get a real person that answers and, get this, is actually happy to help you. They're knowledgeable, professional, very personable, and better yet, in the event of a hiccup, they will work quickly to resolve any problems. They're so good, they would probably try to help you with your lost bags if they could. United Faith Mortgage. Start online, call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Uplifting Way FM.
He's wise beyond his years.
I can't really tell, but it seems like he's very good.
Here's Gavin.
I think a lot of us are on the edge of our seat as we await news of someone winning the Mega Millions lottery. That is an immense number now.
$1 billion. Like, what? No one is prepared to go from minimum wage to $1 billion. Like,
absolutely not.
That would just play with you. No. You know what? For your own sake, Rock, I hope you don't win.
No.
Because I'll take your ticket.
It would change you. And
for
not,
the better.
No. For the worse.
I need it.
I think the Lord needs you just like you are.
No.
Absolutely. Me, on the other hand, this would be the best thing for me.
You're like, retirement's calling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll know how to use it right.
I think a lot of us do come up with our imaginary plans with what we would do with that money. But I read someone's tips on the smartest way to handle winning the lottery and all that money, if you were to actually win the ticket, and the smartest way to handle that. So the first tip was to keep the actual ticket safe. State Farm Insurance recommends making several copies of the ticket and putting the original one in a safe or a bank deposit box.
I've actually thought about that, like if you won, because I always have this, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop, where if I was traveling to the place, that I would lose the ticket. I'd be like, but I swear I had it. Sure you did, sir. It was right here.
It's on
me. Yeah, I would then hire a company for $1 billion. I would hire a company to transfer it, like in an armored vehicle. So that it got there. And you can already see, like, you're trying to protect the money. That's what changes you. That's the problem with big sums of money. We think it's going to be great. It brings a whole new set of problems.
I'll take the problems.
No, you don't. I'm telling you, Rock, I don't want this for your life.
The next tip was protect your privacy. Be prepared to change your contact information,
okay,
like your phone number and your setting up a P.O. box.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone is going to contact you after this. Everyone you've ever remotely known.
Great.
So it's like basically like disappear if you can.
Exactly. Okay. Take that money and like buy an island and go live on it.
Done.
Speaking of buying an island, they say don't make any big decisions because it'll all really be tempting to make like a big purchase or a lifestyle change. But that's why so many winners go broke right away and change who they are.
That's right.
From the beautiful Betty Rock to a rich, pompous person.
Yes, that's why we don't want that for you, Rock.
No.
So we have been praying that the Lord will keep you poor.
Because
this is how we like you.
No!
This is what makes you you. This is what makes you beautiful.
I don't want to be with you peasants.
Gavin and I, see, you're already changing. You haven't even won yet, and you're already changing.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. Pastor Chad from the prayer wall at wayfm.com is here with us. He comes in every week and lets us know kind of what's going on there. It's a place where you can leave prayer requests and pray for people, have other people pray for you. What do you got today there, Pastor Chad?
Yeah, as I was praying on the prayer wall this morning, praying for Emily, who wrote in and just said this, please pray for my relationships. I haven't been the best that I could be to the people around me, and I'm doing my best right now to right my wrongs. Please pray for God to heal the hearts I may have hurt and to mend the relationships and friendships I have damaged.
Boy, that's not one you hear often where you're like, hey, I'm the problem. You know, like that's a good prayer, you know, because a lot of times we pray, God, change this person. They're driving me nuts, or change them. And really, if you pray for God to change you, then you might treat them differently, which then changes that relationship.
I think the easiest thing to do is to go on the defensive and blame all the people around you. The circumstances are why I'm grumpy. Yep. This is why I'm doing this. But the hardest thing actually is to admit, I'm the problem. I'm the one who's wrong. And just to be encouraged that I was even just reading this morning in Colossians chapter 1, and it's just this call from Paul, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And so as we know God better, we're going to grow and we're going to realize that maybe I actually am the problem, and it's my attitude, the way I treat people is why bad things are happening to me.
I've been telling Betty she's the problem for years.
Can I speak into this? Wally, you might need to take some personal responsibility.
Yeah, I will. I will do that. I will try to do better at pointing out your flaws.
You're not listening.
I heard everything right. I heard everything I needed to hear.
Once again, on the defensive.
Yeah, no, I do think there is something to that where, you know, there's a thing called emotional intelligence. It's like truly knowing yourself so that you know how you'll respond in a situation so that maybe you will alter that behavior, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that this is spiritual intelligence. And it's like knowing, okay, I might be culpable in this and owning that and then changing it. I think that's great. Here, 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever realized or come to the realization that you thought everyone else was the problem, but then you realize, you know what? No, this is God dealing with me on this. I need to change this if I want other people around me to change. If you got one, we'll take it. 855-33-WAY-FM. So have you ever been in that place, Gretchen, where you realize, you know what? I wanted God to change everybody, but maybe it's me he needed to work on.
Absolutely. I did that very much in my marriage and with my kids, like thinking it was all their fault. And if my husband would just change and be a better leader or be more spiritual. And God graciously revealed to me blind spots that I needed to change, and I needed to show up differently, and I needed to take some personal responsibility for the way that I was handling things. And thankfully, things are completely different now. Me changing me allowed my marriage to change and allowed my husband to then mirror me.
What encouragement could you give my wife to get to this point?
I think wives have a whole lot more power in the relationship, not power like lording over,
yeah,
but like we can be different. If we want a different change, I can show up differently.
When you pray for God to change you, it then changes how you interact with somebody, like with you and your husband.
Yes.
If God's working on you, then you're going to treat him differently. And if you treat him differently,
yes,
you get a different response, which then strengthens,
yes,
your relationship because you, and I'm not saying, oh, you're wrong and you're the problem and he's perfect, but it just changes the dynamics and that leads to a stronger relationship, correct?
Correct.
And we just don't always realize how big changing our attitude,
yes,
like can do things.
Yeah.
And to quote the great theologian, the mom from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, she talks,
yeah,
about being the neck. And,
yeah.
But the neck really does.
Yeah.
It could turn things. You may be saying the same thing, but the attitude that you do it in, it changes things. And you're setting an attitude even for your family. I realize that the greatest thing I can do is apologize to my kids and ask their forgiveness because,
yeah,
I'm setting an attitude and changing our environment to say this is a place where it's okay to mess up, but we also apologize and we plead for each other's forgiveness.
Well, Gretchen, I appreciate you being on the air. I'm going to pop you off line here real quick and give you my wife's number. And yeah, you just talk. just spend some time together. That'd be great.
I came here in a time machine that you invented.
Great Scott.
Now I need your help to get back in time.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. It is Friday, which means we are hurtling ourselves back in time in our time machine for Flashback Friday. And Lori is with us today. Lori, would you be a deer and reach over to your left and flick that switch, please? Just flick it up.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm getting older. I left the blinker on.
Yeah. I've been telling you since mile two. Hey,
I know.
It's on.
I don't always hear it anymore, you know? And so, Lori, thank you for your help with that. The other thing we need you to do is help us and tell us what year we're going back to musically.
Oh, my goodness. Probably 1985, 86.
Okay, what's the song? Betty Rock can dial it in for us.
Calling on You by Stryper.
Yes! Finally, on this time machine, we have battled our way through some horrible music in the time that we've been doing this. And now we're back to 19. This is 86, and it is Stryper. Yes!
So 1986 yes, was the year that Wally was on his senior year,
yes,
of high school, which, Lori, I believe you were too, correct?
Yes.
Well, also, a gallon of gas, this will make you sad, was 89 cents.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. And I still couldn't afford it. Well, Lori, why did you choose Striper? And first of all, thank you for choosing this. But why did you choose this song?
At the time, if you will remember, was when all of the heavy metal music was going on, and they were talking about if you played it backwards, it was sending subliminal messaging and all this stuff. And
oh yeah, there was a thing called the Parents Music Resource Council, spearheaded by Tipper Gore, that was going after all the bad rock and roll, Ozzy Osbourne, backward masking, and all that stuff. Absolutely, yes. I remember that.
Yes. And my friends and I, we listened to Ronnie James Dio and stuff like that. And we were in youth group one night, and we had talked about that, and it really scared me. So we stopped listening to all of our tapes and destroyed them. And then he heard a Striper, and we started listening to that, and that song just really, really came through for me.
That's awesome. This is kind of their lighter stuff, too, but their more pop side of their stuff. Like Soldiers Under Command, Hell with the Devil, those are all a little bit heavier. This was one that was built for MTV. This video did really well on MTV, too.
When they had videos.
That's right, yeah. Back when MTV actually had music on it. Now it's just reality shows.
Well, I got a feeling that in this time machine, we're going to have to get out the Aquanet and let you and Lori go back to the perm hair band days.
This is so good. You have no idea.
It's so thick.
Sorry. That's going to happen. Just deal with it. You learn to enjoy the taste. Aquanet. It's an acquired taste. So this is so great. We're going back on to 1986 with Lori and Striper calling on you. I want everyone to enjoy this. And if you do not enjoy it, I do not care.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Wally, and I just want to thank so many people, our potties, the people that listen to the radio station, for partnering together to make a difference in the lives of Ukrainian refugees. This thing over there is a mess. We're entering the fifth month of this, and it's just heartbreaking to see what people are going through and how they're having to live. But here's the upside. Together, we have sent more than 100,000 meals to Ukraine already. These meals are being distributed by 3,500 pastors who are risking their lives every day to minister to these families and get them the food that they need. So if you've given, thank you so much. Now we're down to the last couple weeks of the month, and how cool would it be to up the ante here and send another 50,000 meals by the end of July? I know it sounds like a lot, but at 25 cents a meal, that's not a lot, and a little bit from each of us can go a long way. I know I've already done my part, because I'm never going to ask you to do something I won't do, but think about it. $100 sends 400 meals, and then if you roll that out and do $500 or $1,000 gift, imagine the impact that you're having. So if you want to get involved, you've seen all the hardship and the heartache and thought, man, I wish there was something I could do. This is something you can do. Just join us by texting Wally to 91999. That's Wally to 91999. And the cool part of this is, man, you get to be the answer to a mom's prayer as she's wondering how she's going to feed her children. Again, text the word Wally to 91999.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
All three of us, Wally, Gavin, me included, we are all huge fans of the social media platform TikTok.
Yes.
We're all guilty of wasting multiple hours of our lives on it. We have no one to blame but ourselves.
And I get it. Like, there is stuff on there that's not good, obviously. But once it learns you and it learns that you like cat videos or fail videos, it's like, oh, enjoying that.
Yeah, exactly. But we have no one to blame but ourselves when we find out kids who are only in their teens are making so much money just making posts on TikTok.
Really? Okay, because I have a friend that their daughter is making money on TikTok, and she's kind of building her following and making a little bit of money and basically doing ads for stuff. Like, that's another way that kids make money. It's crazy.
Right, exactly.
Are they making anything really, though?
Like, well, take for instance Bella Poarch.
Okay.
She created what has now become the most liked video on TikTok, and it's simply her just lip syncing to a song.
You are kidding me.
Come on.
Because of that, she now has 90 million followers.
No.
And she gets paid per post.
Oh no.
$66,000.
Oh, what? So when she makes a post now of whatever, she gets $66,000?
Because she's done those partnerships with different brands and stuff, and because she's got such a huge following.
Oh my goodness.
Businesses know if they partner with her, they can get in front of a lot of kids.
But here's where you have to be careful, because what happens is you start taking that money and you start doing all these sponsored posts, and then you become a shill for them, basically.
Right.
And then people stop following you.
Exactly.
Oh, all you're going to do is just advertise to me, you know?
Yeah. Well, another great example is Charli D'Amelio?
D'Amelio? I don't know who she is. I know who you're talking about.
Well, she's an 18-year-old, and she takes the crown after her dance videos. Dance videos got her 142 million followers.
Gracious.
Because of that, she now makes... $105,000 per post.
Can you imagine, like, literally, like, you would literally just, like, maybe once a week, you know, you post one ad or one thing like that, and, like, okay, I'm going to work really hard on it. I got a big week this week. I've got a post to do. And normally we would laugh at that kid and go, oh, you got a big week, huh? This one's important because she's going to make $100,000.
Yeah.
You do two posts.
And she's only 18.
You do 10 posts, you're a millionaire. I did the math. Wow, that's insanity.
I know. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, we have 8 followers. we got to figure out how they're doing this and make some money off of this nonsense.
Hope you're ready to dance.
Oh, I will. From $100,000, I'll dance, monkey, dance. Money, money, money. Uplifting Way FM, this year is The Wally Show. Betty Rock, I know you will sell your clothes to Plato's Closet, make a little bit of money. What's the most money you've ever gotten out of your clothes?
They are super bougie, and I don't hit that degree of bougie.
Okay.
So, I would say maybe $7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They give you like maybe 10 or 15% of what they're going to sell it for.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I could see that being a problem. Well, Buzz Aldrin, remember him? He's a famous astronaut from the Apollo 11. Mm-hmm. He was the second man to walk on the moon. I think Armstrong was first.
Okay.
He was second, so almost as good.
Okay.
But he has a jacket from NASA that he is putting up for auction, and they're expecting it to go for between $1 and $2 million.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it's unique, and no one else would have it, you know?
Yeah, but you also never want to wear it out.
I would. If I spent $1 million on a jacket, I'm going to wear it all the time. And if it's a space jacket, yeah, because it's conversation starter. People are like, well, what you got there? Like, oh, that's a NASA jacket. Yeah, you can have your cheap little repop NASA t-shirt that everybody was wearing for a while. This is a NASA jacket worn by one Mr. Buzz Aldrin. It's a crazy amount of money that he's getting for that. And he's selling off a whole bunch of other stuff. He says, after deep consideration, the time felt right to share these items with the world and make a couple $1 million.
I don't mind sharing, sure, because I can get that money.
Now, women typically, stereotypically, get accused of having big closets with lots of money spent on clothes. Yeah. My wife just went through our closet the other day, and she goes, you realize you have over half the closet space in here. I said, your clothes are thinner. The same amount.
But you also probably have more shoes
than
her.
I do. We're close, but I think I do. And so, as guys, a lot of times you don't think that we have a lot of good stuff in the closet. So I am curious, what is the most expensive item in your guy's closet? Not in your closet, but in your guy's closet.
Now, does it have to be a clothes item?
Because,
you know, guys can sometimes use their closet to store other things.
Well, yeah, but if you got a motorcycle in there, no. I mean, I'd like it to be kind of clothes-related. Shoes,
jewelry.
Like, Colton Dixon told us he has a $1,200 pair of shoes. He only paid $200 for it, but that's a lot. I've never paid $200 for a pair of shoes.
Yeah,
like my closet, I have stuff in there, but it's nothing
that's
extravagant.
Insane.
Yeah, so.
Insane.
But I guarantee you there's guys that have watches that are thousands of dollars that they keep in there, or, you know, shirts that are $800.
What is your most expensive item?
My most expensive item is probably one pair of shoes at like $99.
Oh.
Like, I mean, all my shirts are from Marshalls, and I don't like paying over $12.99.
Oh,
maybe $16.99 if it's really cute.
What?
Or really cool.
If it's
cool.
Really cute?
No.
Oh, I heard that.
I did too, actually, as it left my mouth. All right, 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Chance for you to prove that maybe you're not the high-maintenance one in the relationship. What is the most expensive item in your guy's closet? 855-33-WAY-FM. So what's the most expensive item in your guy's closet?
Oh, my gosh. Probably it's between his jerseys and his shoes. And I think it's like $400.
Jerseys that he could wear out and about? Or does he wear?
Yeah, he does. He is probably one of the most high-maintenance guys. This is my husband I've ever met. Huh? I mean, he has to have the latest Jordan. Or the latest, he matches even at home in his pajamas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Did you know that before going into this marriage?
I did, but I didn't realize the extent until we moved in together and he needed a whole room for his stuff. And I said, oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. Yeah, he sounds like the high maintenance one for sure.
He definitely is.
Does he ever do this? Honey, they're an investment.
You know, he always says that he could resell them later, yeah. But I have yet to see that happen.
Yeah, women do that with, like, jewelry and things like that. It's a diamond, yes, but it's an investment. Oh, so you ever going to sell your engagement ring? Really, the only answer to that is if you ever leave me, you know?
At least he does wear it, because it would drive me up the wall if they just never left the room.
Well, girl, I got you down. That's great. And I love that you're not the high-maintenance one.
Oh, not at all.
What's the most expensive thing you have?
So the most expensive thing I have would be a $600 suit. That
oh, wow.
I actually got from the place that we rented our tuxedos for our wedding. They told me if I added one more guy or was able to get one more gentleman rent a tux for my wedding, I would get a free suit.
Oh,
so I added an usher. I got a free suit.
Do you still wear the $600 suit?
Let me tell you this, Wally. I've gained a little weight in the last few years. So it's getting a little snug when I got it. 7 years ago when me and my beautiful bride got married, I was about 145 pounds. I'm about 170 now.
Yeah.
So I'm not overly, but it's enough that I have a hard time getting into it.
You'll have to come up with another way to get some free alterations.
Hey, there you go. That works.
What is the most expensive thing he has in the closet?
We are getting ready for my son's wedding, which is in about a week. And I went to Penny's and found a dress on clearance for $70. He went to Macy's and bought a black jacket for $500.
Whoa!
That's so great. Because, yeah, you think the mother of the bride's going to spend a bunch of money on a dress. Good on you for only spending $70.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Well, I guess to his credit, it's a black jacket, and you can wear it for other occasions, although I'm not sure what they're going to be.
The funeral when you murder him for the $500 black jacket.
Yeah, he's going to look good, though. He'll look good.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And be sure to join our exclusive Potty Facebook group. You can find the link in the description of this podcast. And thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.